Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. It's good to have you here with us this morning. I would also say happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is this week. For those that need to catch up on where we're at in November, it was good to see many of us together here at the building this morning outside in the parking lot, picking up some maple bars, Advent candles, and bowls. So what a good time that was. Perhaps some of you are even enjoying those maple bars as we are gathered together for our service this morning. Want to just mention a big thank you from Bob Kaufman. Many sent birthday cards to Bob. Today is his 90th birthday, and so we say happy birthday to Bob. And it was good to see him here this morning, too, and we were able to sing happy birthday to him as well. Why don't we just all give Bob a wave? Wave your hands for Bob and his 90th birthday. He is celebrating all day, so it's great to be able to celebrate with him. For those that did pick up Advent candle sets, and if you didn't get here to pick one up, we still have some. Let Jana or I know that you would like one, and we're going to come by and get it. So we're here, can arrange a time for you. And then starting next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. So starting next Sunday, what we're going to do is invite you at home to light a candle as we light a candle here in the sanctuary in celebration and anticipation of Advent. I think that's all the announcements. If it's not, Jana will make up for my deficiencies in any way. And now Kiara is our worship leader this morning, so we will look to her.
Good morning. As you can see, I'm leading from home today. And for those of you who are in the Sunday school class, you'll notice that my background is different because my parents objected to the blandness of my other. This is more bland, but it at least is the same color. You can all bow your heads in prayer. I'm going to start out with a prayer, and it's been a rough week. Dear God, you know the places in our hearts where we are afraid. Afraid of a future we cannot control. Afraid of losing health and independence. Afraid for the well-being of our children and our parents. Afraid that past mistakes will ruin the future. Write the stories of your people deep into our hearts so that we may learn to trust you beyond our fears. Give us hearts and minds and spirits ready to trust and follow wherever your spirit leads us, confident that you will not lead us beyond your loving embrace. Amen. And then for the call to worship, and this is based off of our scripture for today, which is Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. When we pass through the waters, God is there with us. When we suffer and feel hopeless, God is there with us. Whether we feel triumphant or defeated, God is there with us, always. Come, let us worship together with Emmanuel, God with us. You're muted. I mean, you're not muted, but we can't hear you.
Yeah, details. How's that? Thank you. We're going to take some time now to share together in communion, so I invite you to get your elements prepared. Clark and Carolyn are going to lead us in this time, and they are here with us in the building, so we'll turn our attention to them as we join together as a congregation this morning in communion. Clark and Carolyn, please come.
Good morning. I invite you to this table in the name of the one who said, "I am the bread of life." This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is here that we remember how he gave his body and his blood to save us. All God's children are invited to the Lord's table and are welcome to take the bread and juice to sustain them on their journey of faith. Please take the bread and hold it, and we will eat together shortly. On the night he was handed over, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and, after giving thanks to God, broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you want to take and eat your bread or cracker or whatever you might have. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, even unto death. Send your Spirit upon us so that we may know that all who eat and drink at your table in our congregation are one body, one holy people.
After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We'll pray before we drink of the juice. Let's pray together. Lord, give us clean hearts, forgiving hearts, praising hearts, and as we drink this, we join with our brothers and sisters in heaven and on earth, giving thanks to you in the endless song of praise. Amen. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Please. Excuse us. We're having a very healthy one here. It's got individual. All right. There you go. We have come to the Lord's table. We have eaten the bread of heaven. The Holy Spirit will transform us from within so that we can see with Jesus' eyes, hear with Jesus' ears, speak with Jesus' mouth, feel the world as Jesus feels, to taste and see that the Lord is good. May you go into your week nourished by the bread of life.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches through the lowest hell. The great care of our care of His Son through Him. Every child is reconciled.
hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah as I light the mercy, peace, and justice candle. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command, that it may go well with you. We're going to hear the song, I've Got a River of Life, by an African children's choir.
Okay, I made it disappear somehow, so just give me a minute and I'll bring it back. Reading screen. Okay. Okay, I got it. Oh, me. Sorry, I got too many screens here. Okay, here we go. Okay, so that was a different song. I don't know why. It's the same clip. It's the same. I mean, it worked last night, but it's a good song. So we're going to go with it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that, Gina. I know sometimes this technology, it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad for it, but there are moments when it is a bit, I'll use the word challenging. How about that? That's a good safe word. It is time for the children's story, so I'm going to invite the children to gather around their cameras. Gina has the children's story for us this morning.
What is Joy thankful for this year? Joy is a good kitten. Yeah, she's Gina's good kitten. But there's a new girl. Her name is Maple. She is just a baby kitten. Joy doesn't know what to think about her. Is she a good friend? Will she be a good friend this year? Abby doesn't know either. Maple doesn't know how to play properly. No, she doesn't. She doesn't know how to play with her sister well. What good is it to have a sister if she doesn't know how to play with you properly? Joy doesn't know about this. It's not very good. She needs to teach Maple how to play with toys and how to play with her. This is a fun toy. She can show Maple how to use it. Yeah, that's how you play, Maple. That's how you play. Now, Maple tries to play all by herself, like her sister showed her. Yeah, like her sister showed her. Mm-hmm. It's still hard. Yeah, it's still hard for little Maple. She doesn't know how to do things yet. She wants to be like her big sister. She wants to be like her a lot. But she keeps making mistakes. Silly mistakes. And her sister shows her how to play. You see, Joy is showing Maple how to play. Maple doesn't know how, but Joy shows her that she needs to be a good friend. Yeah. This might take a lot of time to teach, but she's going to teach her how to be a good friend and sister. Mm-hmm. A good one. Yeah. And in no time, Joy and Maple were playing together. How nice to have a friend. A friend who is your sister. A friend that you can play with all the time. Anytime you want to, you can play with your friend. But she is your sister and she's there all the time. Oh, yes. And now Joy was very happy. She's very happy to have a good friend. A good friend that she can play with all the time they can play. They are good friends, and Joy is very grateful. She gives her good friend a bath sometimes. Yeah, and Maple loves it. Maple loves to have a good bath. Yeah, from her sister. She loves her sister. Yeah, Joy is thankful for little Maple, her new sister. Yeah, they are happy girls. How about you? What are you thankful for? Do you know that this is Thanksgiving? It's the time when we talk about what we're thankful for. Yeah. You should talk to your parents about what you're thankful for. Yeah. It's hard to say. It could be many things. Yeah, sometimes it's your sister or your brother or your mom or your dad, or sometimes it's your home, or it could be some favorite toys. There's lots of things that we're thankful for, things that we're very glad are ours. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for giving us so many wonderful things. Help us to remember to thank you for those things. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gina, for that story and things and how we should be thankful, or how we can be thankful, even if we don't necessarily recognize it right off the bat. I'm going to read the scripture for today, which is Isaiah 43:1-7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you.
For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
This morning, the title to the sermon is Taking the Worry Out of the Walk. Another fitting title might be Thanksgiving Day During a Pandemic. Or if you don't like that title, maybe it could be Taking the Fear Out of the Fellowship or Taking the Stress Out of the Story. Well, whichever title you need and is fitting for you, that will work. It is Thanksgiving coming up this week, and we look forward to that. But one of the challenges, and there are many in 2020, is how do we be thankful in the midst of grief and loss, distance, crisis, COVID? I saw this morning this from a friend who wrote, as we look forward to November 26, we call that Thanksgiving Day. Well, every day should be a day of giving thanks. During this time, we usually look back in our history as a country and celebrate when we think about, in a poetic way, the pilgrims and the Indians gathering together for their feast. And we call that the first Thanksgiving. But in the Old Testament times, the people of God brought sacrifices to the altar, and they brought them with thanksgiving. As we observe Thanksgiving Day this year, whether we can meet together as family and friends or because we cannot due to the virus and the social distancing and trying to be safe, we still have many things to be thankful for God, to God for. The psalmist says over and over again as we look at the Psalms, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Philippians 4:6 states, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Thanksgiving is throughout the biblical text, this call on us as God's people to be thankful. But God, how do I do that? How do I be thankful when I'm worried? And what do I do with this worry as it seemingly is a part of life these days? I mean, we can't be together with family as we would like to be for Thanksgiving. When do I get to see them again? That can create in me worry. Worry about health, my own health and the health of loved ones, health of our congregation, and that can create worry in me as well. And if that's not enough, I don't know if there'll be toilet paper at the store when I go next time. All of these pieces of life. And now today we look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah prophesying to the nation Israel, who are going through, have been through, and in the story will continue to go through great amounts of crisis, of being removed from home, of being pushed, of even on their own accord acting in rebellion. And Isaiah says in this chapter, do not fear. So I wonder, what do I do with my worry? I even wonder sometimes, now be with me a little bit on this, extend grace, does God worry? And if God doesn't worry, is worry a sin? Well, these are pretty big questions to be answered by me, so I won't. But let's look at this thing around worry. Some have defined worry as a state of thinking caused by fear of the unknown. Well, I can sign up for that one. Absolutely, fear of the unknown. Another has said that worry is to feel uneasy or concerned about something, to be troubled, to cause to feel anxious, distressed, or troubled. So all of this could be indeed worry. But again, if I'm to think about thankfulness and giving thanks to God, how can I do that even when I worry? I like words. I like to study words. Worry comes, the root word of worry comes out of an old English word. But in this, there's also, I found, a Middle English descendant of worry. This might bore some of you, but hang in there. It's only a little bit. And that word is worrying, W-O-R-I-E-N. And this definition is to keep the sense and develop a new sense of to grasp by the throat with the teeth. Boy, that is quite the picture. But sometimes worry feels a little bit like it's grasping us, maybe even around the neck. In thinking about my own worry and the amount of worry we can carry as a congregation or even as a society, again, seeing Isaiah's words of do not fear. Well, I recognize that sometimes my worry comes out of forgetting. I forget that God doesn't worry. Worry is this lack of knowing sometimes of what's ahead, but God knows what's ahead. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4 says that, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. When I don't know, and I worry about what I don't know, I need to remember that God does know. God knows what today holds. So if I'm going to try and take the worry out of the walk, I need to recognize God knows. What do I mean by the walk? Is this a walk through the garden? Is this a walk along the beach? What is this walk? 1 John chapter 1 talks about a walk, and it's really about a person's conduct, our way of life, our identity. That's what I mean by walk. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We just celebrated together communion in thinking about how God indeed has provided for us an opportunity of communion and connection through Jesus. And that identity in Christ is our walk. It's part of what we do when we walk. Taking the worry, taking that anxiety, and giving it over to God so that I can walk in my identity, in who I am truly created to be. When I think of fear, as Isaiah mentions here, do not fear, I think of fear in two kinds of ways. I think there's a fear that leads to an obedience. This recognition of relationship with God through Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit, in that we are seeking to be obedient. So there's a respect and a fear that we have as we seek to be obedient to God and obey Christ. And in that is our sincerity of heart. That's a fear. Now, there's another kind of fear that can tend to lead to the inability to function well in life. And this is sometimes created by anxiety. It's created by maybe things going on in our families and our relationships. But in Hebrews chapter 2, there's two verses here that I think really talk about this fear that leads to an inability to function. Keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, that's Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in captivity by their fear of death. And I think about that word captivity. And sometimes that fear that holds us captive, that's the fear that Isaiah is talking about, that he's prophesying to the people of Israel as they're going to step into their world that's going to be so much different than what they realized it would ever be. Crisis and constantly being moved around. And Isaiah giving some guidance to people through this prophecy, to people of his time, and looking forward even to people that would be around when Jesus arrives in the advent of what we're going to celebrate, begin to celebrate next week. But also, you know, Isaiah many times points to the day of the Lord when Jesus comes that second time. So then I look at chapter 43 in Isaiah, and I think what's here to help me deal with my worry and take the worry out of the walk, the calling that God has given me. So I see three things here that I think are helpful for me, perhaps will be helpful for you as we look at this text. First off, it says in verse 1 in Isaiah chapter 43, but now this is what the Lord says,
Sorry, you're muted all of a sudden.
All right, I'm back. Thank you. How long did you let me go?
Maybe like 10 seconds.
Okay. But this first point is that to remember that God created you. And because God created you, that there is a relationship that God has with all people. Here he's speaking, Isaiah is speaking, and he's talking about Jacob and Israel and this creation that God has created each of us. Verse 7 says, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That there is a relationship and connection that God has with each person in all of humanity. Psalm 139, again, verse 13 says, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. That's about relationship, that God has a connection with people. Isaiah 42, verse 5, if you go back just one chapter before where we are today, it says, this is what the Lord, what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and the life to those who walk on it. God's giving life to all people. And if you were with us last week and you heard Frank in his sermon talk about how God kind of lays out all the universe as a tent. I like that image. For those that like to camp, maybe that's a good one. Another image as comes out of Isaiah is this recognition that God is present in all places, in all that's been created, and that he is able to, the image that I have in my head, that he's able to take his hand, if you think about God's hand, and all of the universe, and he can take his pinky, his little finger, and put it on one side of the universe, and take his thumb and put it on the other side. And that's the God that has created not all of what we can see around us, but each one of us, that act of creativity in us, in humans, in humanity. And in Psalm 102, verse 25, it says, "In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." God is indeed the creator. And God desires to step into each of our lives. This God who's created, who we can see all that he's created, wants us to have a relationship with him. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So this light is part of God's creation. And if I want to work at getting out of that worry that so easily can surround me, I need to remember that God created, and he created me and desires that relationship with each one of us. Secondly, what I see here, these words of Isaiah, "Do not fear," is that God is caring, and he's caring for you. He's caring for me. Verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." God is indeed with us. It doesn't say if. By the way, even in the original language, it doesn't say if. It says when you pass through the waters. God is indeed caring. We are, as people, created in the image of God, precious and honored in the sight of God, and that God loves you. Familiar verses for some of us. John 3:16, "God so loved the world, he gave his only son." Romans 5:8, "God demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God's love flows over into his caring for us. Now, I have something to show you this morning. I'm not sure how well you're going to be able to see it. This here is a teddy bear. Can you see that? Now, if you're looking at it and you're saying, "Well, I can't quite see it because, I don't know, it looks like maybe that teddy bear just has one eye." And if you look really closely, you're going to see that the teddy bear is pretty ragged. There's his back. Actually, most of the fur is gone off this teddy bear. Now, here's the question. Does this teddy bear look loved? Some of you are like, "Wait a minute, that sounds like a trick question." Well, let me give you a little history of this teddy bear. This teddy bear was given to me when I was 4 years old. So, see, that was 20 years ago. No. 30 years ago? No. Almost 50 years ago. Not quite, but almost. So, many of you would say, yes, that teddy bear was well-loved. And when I was four, I had a broken leg. And I was, broke my leg while tobogganing, and I was put in the hospital in traction for 5 weeks. As a little boy, you could imagine in the hospital for 5 weeks, at four, that's pretty tragic. That's one of those times when I was passing through the waters, let me tell you. But this teddy bear was given to me, and I don't know who gave that to me. That's probably a detail I've forgotten. But I know that I had it with me all the time, and I ripped all the hair off the teddy bear and was pretty rough on the teddy bear, but it was a well-loved. Now let me show you something else that's coming from my history. This is a ceramic turtle that I made in camp when I was 12 years old. Does it look like it's well-loved? Now, love as you can these inanimate objects, right? This turtle's been with me since I was 12. It's been obviously well cared for, packaged when we move very carefully so it doesn't break. What I'm showing you are two items in my story, my history, both well-loved. This one, well-loved, but not really well cared for. I, you know, hugged it and I probably slept with it for years. Didn't care for its appearance so much. This one, I do care about its appearance, but never really interacted with it much. Sat it on the shelf. It looks pretty, but never played with it. But still, you know, I love it. When God loves us, he cares for us, keeps us safe, but doesn't put us on the shelf not to interact with us. He cares for us and he interacts with us. But at the same time, as he interacts with us, he keeps us safe and cares for us. And Isaiah was trying to communicate that and convey that in his prophecy. And for us today to recognize that God cares for us in such a way that the love that he has for all people flows over into just not having us look pretty. Some of us look prettier than others. No judgment. But to recognize that in God's love and care, he will keep us safe. Doesn't mean that there won't be pain in our lives, but there will be this understanding and seeing God is indeed keeping us safe. And in that, then, what I see next is in Isaiah, this summoning, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. This understanding that we're not to fear because there is indeed a redeeming factor that comes through God's plan for our lives. Do not fear, I have redeemed you, I've summoned you by name, you are mine. Hearing people say your name, it makes a connection. Now, I'm working at learning people's names here at Zion, and it's been a challenge because most of you I only see in little grids on my computer. Some of you I'm getting to meet, interacted with a bunch of people this morning, but again, when I meet you and I know your name, or you meet me and you know my name, there's a connection there that happens because we have each other's names and we know each other. And God knows you in that same way. He knows your name and he calls out to you. He wants a relationship with you. Going back to Isaiah 42, verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. God reaching out, calling people, making that connection, and talking here about Jesus in verse 7 to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. God bringing into our lives light. When we are caught up into all that God reveals to us in his word through the Holy Spirit, if we can get caught up in that, it helps us to get out of the worry. And in that worry, God is walking with us, clearly helping us, revealing himself to us. As we pass through the waters, pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When we walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God indeed will walk with us. It doesn't always look the way we want it to look. But what I am after is in the midst of things that are trouble, things that worry me, things that don't go the way I would hope they would go, that I want to be able to cry out to God, God help me. And in that cry, the confidence that comes from a relationship of knowing that God created, that God cares, and that God calls me, that God knows my name. So what do we do? Regardless of fear, worry, stress, God is still God. God loves us. And God does care for us and about us. He's calling us. He's calling us to our identity in Christ. He's calling us to salvation. And he's calling us to move on in growth in understanding who God is and who God has created each one of us to be. As people, Christians, connected to God through Jesus, led by the Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, Therefore, verse 12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you always obeyed, not only my presence, but much more, Paul writing this says, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. And here's that word, with fear and trembling. That's a fear that leads to obedience. Verse 13, Philippians chapter 2, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. May God be at work in our hearts and our lives to will and to act for his good purpose. God is at work in our world. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for these words from Isaiah. God, there, as you know, in my life, many things in which I could worry about. And I do. God, help us to be people who can hand those worries over to you. Help us also to be people who can walk with one another in the midst of our worries and fears, so that we might be able to, again, see you at work, sustaining, healing, being light. Help us, God, to walk in that light. Amen.
That song was from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5, as we've been in the book of Isaiah for several weeks. I hope those words bring you comfort, bring you just that encouragement that God is with us, God is with you, and is giving you his strength and peace during this time. Thank you to those who came by this morning. We have about 6 Advent candle sets left over, so if you weren't able to pick them up, please let me know, and you can stop by this week. If you need candles, we'll make sure that you get some candles also. I want to say thank you to Steve and Paul and Simon and Frank Howard for setting up the tent yesterday. I was prepared for rain while we were going to be outside this morning, so I appreciate their help. If you have time to look in your bulletin, there's different announcements there. One is that Bill has agreed to extend his contract with Zion through August 31st if we have no long-term pastor chosen at that time. So I appreciate Bill's willingness to continue to minister and serve here. I appreciate working with him every week. So be in prayer for Bill and I as we continue to reimagine what it means to be church during these times. I want to lead a prayer this morning that's called Stumbling Toward Thanksgiving, Congregational Pandemic Prayer. And this is one I found in the Leading in Worship resource. The words really stood out for me of what I'm feeling and experiencing. I hope that they're meaningful to you this morning. So let's go to prayer together. God, in this hard year, we're stumbling toward Thanksgiving. There has been a lot to trip us up. A pandemic, social isolation, economic meltdowns, injustice on so many levels. And we take nothing for granted this year. We think of those whose lives matter, those who tend to be forgotten in society, not to mention hurricanes and forest fires and climate change. And this is not even including our everyday sorrows that haven't let up for 1 minute. God, we wouldn't wish this year on anyone. So this week, this Thanksgiving, we struggle with our words. And we need to take some deep breaths to pause and consider what we are thankful for. Lord, thank you for life, for bringing us this far. Thank you for those who have sacrificed to help others, our healthcare community, essential workers, teachers, and everyone who has toiled over time to make a difference. We lift prayers for people who are grieving the loss of loved ones, the loss of jobs or businesses, the loss of freedom to be with family or to travel. And yet we look around us and thank you for providing the rich blessings of harvest in fields and farm workers who make it possible that there is food in grocery stores, even when we sometimes have to line up for it. And God, thank you for the beauty of this fall season, the sound of geese flying south, the feel of cold wind and sun that warms our skin. God, we need your help to get us through this coming year. Help us to find a vaccine. We need it soon. We need it for everyone. And we need it to work. Help our communities in the meantime to pull together. Forgive us when we are irritated and judgmental of the choices other people are making. Help us to hold on to our values of love and justice, watching to see where our actions are racist, where our own structures perpetuate inequality. Thank you for the freedom we have to choose our government. God, guide our leaders who are making big decisions about the pandemic. Decisions that will have implications for generations. So give us all patience as we wash our hands for the millionth time, as we mask up, as we make hard choices to not mingle and socialize in person. This Thanksgiving week, we set our eyes on Christmas. The world is waiting desperately for an angelic message of good tidings of great joy for all people. We are waiting for you, Lord, to be born again. Born again in this pandemic year. Born again in our hearts, in our world. We know you are coming. So we thank you and we praise you this day with all of our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, Dana. For the benediction, I'll read something that's also based on the scripture from today. As you go from here or stay at home, remember this: you have nothing to fear, for God has created you and shaped you. He has chosen you and named you as his own. When you face stormy seas, God will be there. When it seems as though you are walking through fire, God will be there. So go, or stay, with joy and confidence, knowing that the loving presence of God goes with you.